Amen. Well, today we'll look just a little bit different. We have been teaching through the book of 1 Peter, and today, just with sanctity of life, we will step away from that just for today, and as we look at God's plan for life. Here in just a moment, you will hear and be challenged to think about what you believe and where you stand upon sanctity of life. And before we even begin this discussion, I know that it is very possible that there is someone here who has in some way been a part of, chosen to have, or in some way been a part of an abortion in the past. Statistics show that 1 in 4 women will have one by the age of 45. And so with that in mind, I know that it is very possible that you're sitting here maybe as as someone who took or maybe even suggested that that be an option for someone. And with that in mind, I just want to share with you and remind you of a story that I think brings great hope. In John chapter 8, as Jesus was at the temple and teaching, the leaders came and they threw a woman down in front of him, a woman who had been caught in adultery. And they came and asked what he should do. They said that the law of Moses says that she must be stoned. And so they asked what he should do. And as they are talking, he kneels down and he begins to write in the dirt or draw. We don't really know what he was doing, and I don't want to speculate there. Some suggest that maybe he was writing their sins, or maybe he was writing an encouragement to the woman. Again, we don't know. But for whatever reason, when he asked the men that he who is without sin to cast the first stone, they all dropped their stones and walked away. And he, speaking to the woman, asked her, he says, "Who is it that condemns you?" And knowing, or at least seeing that they had walked away, she says, "No one." And he says, "Neither do I." And I bring up and remind us of that we all have failures in our lives or past that we can point to of decisions that were wrong, especially as we grow and mature and as we grow closer to the Lord, how much more those decisions begin to stand out. And so I just want to tell you today that because of Jesus, Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." And so who condemns you? No one. No one condemns you. Today we are going to talk about a very hard issue of life. It is one that I believe that the Bible speaks clearly on. It is one that I believe that we can stand with confidence in knowing God's clear will for our life in regard to. And with that in mind, I want to introduce you to Karen Allen. Karen is from the Hope Pregnancy Center and is going to come and share with us some of the things that and ways that we can get involved. A very neat connection that we have is Karen's mom, unknowing to myself until this morning, but Karen's mom is a lady who, when I was at Inola, was very instrumental in selling us a old grocery store that we end up using as a way to reach the community. And not at all, it was on her part, it was an act of faith to sell it to us at the small price in which she sold it to us. And so it is one that I'm very thankful for her family and look forward to hear how she encourages us this morning. So if you would, welcome Karen.
Thank you. I want to just start by saying, well, first of all, I am Karen Alley, and I'm the director at Hope Pregnancy Center in Tulsa. But I really just want to stop and thank First Baptist Church Skytook for all the ways that you all have supported not only Hope Pregnancy Center, but also Oklahoma Baptist Homes for Children over the years. Your church has been so faithful to help in so many different ways, from filling baby bottles with change to providing diapers and wipes to hosting tables at our annual fundraising event. Your ongoing friendship with Hope Pregnancy Center is vital to our existence, and it may not seem like it from where you sit, but it has lasting impact on so many lives. I'm also very grateful that Oklahoma Baptist focus on the sanctity of human life every year in January about this time. And I'm grateful that all across the state and the nation, people in their churches are remembering the value of life that was created by Almighty God. While I am very thankful for this, I am also equally as burdened by the truth that unplanned pregnancy and abortion still happens the other 11 months of the year. And we must keep this tragedy in the forefront of our thoughts and our hearts. And so as you saw on that video, the numbers are sobering. In 2020, 3,172 abortions were performed in Oklahoma, over 3,100. In Oklahoma alone, which is a state that boasts some of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country, over 3,100. To put that into perspective for you all, the enrollment of children in kindergarten through 12th grade at Skytook Public Schools right now is a little over 2,200. That's very sobering. And so while states like Mississippi and Texas have these high-profile cases that are going before the Supreme Court and being considered, I'm so grateful for what your pastor said, because we know that, like all of our sin struggles, this isn't a legal or political issue. This is a heart issue. And at Hope Pregnancy Center and at pregnancy centers all across the state and the nation, we continue to meet one-on-one with those facing an unplanned pregnancy, offering them compassion and truth, both about the life that is within them, but also about how God loves them and what His plan is for them and for their babies. Well, our culture has relegated the issue of abortion to politics, and sadly, the occasional social media argument over it. I would highly recommend that you not engage in one of those. Been there? It's not helpful. I found it to be. But what we see at Hope every day are real women and men in the midst of an unplanned pregnancy struggling with real emotions and, most of the time, impossible circumstances. And they're living in a world that tells them, this is your right. It's legal. It must be okay. This is merely a health issue. It's the best solution for your situation. And in that moment, they don't need to talk about politics or law. They don't care about those things. They won't likely respond favorably to judgment or condemnation. They need to know that someone is going to come alongside them and compassionately tell them the truth to help them understand ways that they can remove the obstacles that would help them make a choice for life, to help them be aware of how much God loves them. Well, as your pastor said, a startling truth is that 1 in 4 women in America will have had an abortion. And there is no distinction between churched and unchurched women with that statistic. Many women, especially in church, keep this secret their entire lives, but not without consequences. I implore you to be sensitive, to be Christ-like, especially with all the discussion now swirling around about the possibility of abortion law changes. Consider, like he said, that in this room, there are likely women that have walked that path. And so from my heart to yours, I just want to say that if you or if somebody that you know has had or been involved in an abortion, I really just want you to hear that you don't have to walk alone any longer with that secret. God sees you, and He loves you, And he wants to offer forgiveness, healing, and restoration. And at Hope Pregnancy Center and many pregnancy centers across the state, you can talk about your abortion confidentially with people who have walked that path. And you can begin a healing process confidentially, again, through a Bible-based study that we offer called Forgiven and Set Free. Well, the tragedy of abortion can seem very overwhelming. And it's easy to believe that there's really nothing that you can do for such a big issue. But I have some good news for you today, because there are things that you and your church can do to make an impact. In fact, there are things that you can do starting right now. As the video stated, you can pray, you can serve, you can give. You can pray for our staff and volunteers at our center or any other local center. Listen, the enemy hates life, and he's going to do anything to attack those that are charged to protect it. Our center staff and volunteers are constantly under attack by the enemy. We need your prayers. Gather as a prayer group. Come to the center once a week or once a month to pray. I can't tell you what it would mean to our center staff and volunteers to know that in a corner somewhere in the center, there are people praying over us. You can serve by learning about all the different volunteer opportunities, from working directly with men and women all the way to maintenance and yard work. You could provide dinner or a fellowship once a month or once a quarter to our clients in our parenting classes that just need to fellowship with church folks. And you can give. You can make a monthly financial gift to your local pregnancy center. Listen, even $10 and $20 a month is a significant impact, ensuring that our centers can provide the services that women and men need, the women and men in the community need. The point is, even though the issue of unplanned pregnancy and abortion is overwhelming, and it is hard, it's hard to talk about, and it may seem as if your help is not worthwhile, you all know this, the Lord is going to bring the victory in this situation. He is already doing it one life at a time at our pregnancy centers, and you can make a difference. There's a popular song on contemporary Christian radio, and the lyrics talk about all the sin and how overwhelming all the sin is in our culture. And it asks the question, why doesn't God do something? And the song continues with God responding, I did. I created you. The singer goes on to ask, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? And so I thank you so much for your time today. I look forward to seeing how you and your church are going to continue to make an impact in the community for life in 2022. I'm going to have a table right out here in the front, and I'm going to be available to visit with any of you all after the service if you all want to just find out more information about what you can do to make an impact. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Karen. If you would, grab your Bibles and open with me to Psalm 139. As you're turning there, just a few things that, this week has been really hard, just looking at and diving into some of the statistics and specifics of what is allowed, what is legal, and then many of the numbers in which Karen gave us. New York has passed laws regarding late-term abortion right up until the baby is born. And there are 8 states where this is legalized right now. Virginia governor tried to pass a law allowing parents to decide if they wanted to kill a baby after it was born. Now, that was not passed, but it just shows the wickedness that is out there, almost just determining whether or not you even want it after seeing or after it being born. There was a bill that was voted on. It's called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. What it did was it sought to protect the babies after they were aborted if they were still alive. And can you imagine that there was 41 senators that voted no to that in 2020? now. That did pass. But what I'm saying here is that you can see, just being reminded of some of the things that are going on where life is being taken. There is a movie. It's a free movie. It's one that you can watch on YouTube. It's through Living Waters Ministry by Ray Comfort, and it is called the 180 movie. And what the movie seeks to do is to, in talking with people, random people on the street, it begins to discuss with them and ask questions. And one of the questions that were that was asked as the interviewer was pointing to the Holocaust as a example of what is going on or what we are allowing here in America, is that during the Holocaust, all of these people were being killed, and yet the German Christians sat idly by and did nothing. And in the same way, here in America, we are allowing much of the same. The question that was asked was, if you were asked to drive a bulldozer to bury Jews alive, some of them at least were alive, or you would be shot, would you do it? And it was really a very personal question, as you can imagine, and yet many of them answered it with what they truly believed in that. And the question was, regardless of how they answered, is do you value human life? And, man, it really struck me as we have all of these thoughts, and many a times where culture is pushed different ideas upon us, or this is women's rights, or whatever it is, but the specifics of the events are not, or of the issues are not talked about, and they're not discussed, or hard questions aren't asked. During the Holocaust, there was 11 million people who were murdered. Some say 6 million of those Jews, other different cultures, but 11 million were killed during the Holocaust. Since Roe versus Wade in 1973, there has been some estimated 62 million abortions. 62 million that we have allowed and even legalized here in the States. In Genesis 1, God says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. You see, when I mention this is because we are created in the very image of God. We are not just some animal. And one of the things that I believe that the Nazis did is specifically to the Jews is they dehumanized them. And in dehumanizing them, they made it to where they were not even human, so therefore they were no different than the animals. Actually worse, they were told that they needed to be killed off because they were lesser than. And in the same way, our culture tries to do that in calling babies fetuses, instead of what they are, which is a baby. We're different than the animals. When a very majestic gazelle is out in the field, when a lion eats the gazelle, he doesn't step back and be like, "What have I done?" Right? Because he has no moral. There's no morality to him. He is an animal, therefore that's what he does. And you and I are much different. We are created in the image of God, both spiritually and morally. And therefore, we must understand God's plan. So here in Psalms 139, I want you to see, look at verse 13 with me is where we will start. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, in intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. Do you hear that as he is speaking about being formed in the secret place or being formed where and knit together in the mother's womb? The womb is a place of protection. There is much time we could spend on talking about how God has designed the baby to be protected within the womb and cared for and nourished. But here we see a couple of things. The first one is that we see an attack against the sovereignty and the will and plan of God. When someone seeks to abort a baby, what they're doing is they're going against the very plan of God. Here, God, it says that God has knitted together within the womb. Now, there's all sorts of questions that could come to that, and what if things are done outside the will of God? What if these are actions or based upon wickedness or whatever other questions that we want to add to there? We'll tackle a couple of them here in just a minute. But a follow-up question to that is, why should the baby suffer for the sin of the parents? You see, if the baby is being knit together from God Almighty, and regardless of the situation as to how that baby was conceived, the hand of God and being created in his image is still the same. And so therefore it is an attack against God. In Jeremiah 1:5, as he is reminded of his call, he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Before Jeremiah was even born, God had a plan, and a sovereign plan as to how he would live out his days. And I believe the same is true for you and I. God has a plan. And we need to be careful to say that I know, or this is my plan, and so therefore I will make sure that my plan is what is upheld. Even the name of the largest organization around abortion is Planned Parenthood. In other words, it is your right to plan the way that you want to plan. And I just want to say, in doing so, it is an attack against God's plan. In thinking about just the development of the baby, there are many things that stood out to me in just preparing and studying. The first one is that 18 days from conception, many times a heart begins to beat with the baby's own blood. 28 days from conception, the baby has eyes, ears, and even a tongue. 42 days, brain waves are detected and fingers and toes are developing. At 52 days, it includes hiccuping, frowning, squinting, furrowing the brow, pursing the lips together, moving individual arms and legs, head turning, touching his or her face, breathing, obviously without air, but stretching, opening the mouth, yawning and sucking. All of these things happen here over the next 4 weeks. At 8 to 10 weeks, every organ is present. Their thumb sucking may occur. At 10 weeks, the unborn baby's body is sensitive to touch. I think I have a picture of a 10-week-old. So this is at 10 weeks old. 11 weeks and 12 weeks, smiles are evident. The baby's sex can be visually determined at 12 weeks, and the child's eyes, ears, and face begin to display distinctive characteristics. At 13 weeks, facial expressions may resemble the parents. All the way through 18 weeks, there is able to experience pain. His or her movements can now be felt by the mother in between 18 and 20 weeks. And just so you know, most states will allow, at least by law, abortions up to 20 weeks. And so at 20 weeks, that's a baby. And yet law permits in many states what you see right here. Now, Not only is it attack against the sovereignty of God, it also is attack against the glory of God in creation. And what I mean by that is we see here in Psalms 139 where it says, I praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, there is this, as we begin to grow, as we begin to understand and look at this world and look at each other, especially as we learn more and more about science, is we see how detailed we are made. I mean, to think about even how just the eye works and how it takes images and light and communicates to the brain. To think about how our brain can move different parts of our body and we see the beauty in which what man has created and can create just with the use of creativity and the gifts that are given. But we see God's clear beauty as well. Now, there are defenses against this, right? And we hear about them all the time. Again, as mentioned a while ago, we hear culture calling it a fetus instead of a baby. And in many ways, as I mentioned, it is very similar to how Nazi Germany dehumanized the Jews. And he even said at one point that they are not human. And so this is a way that we do. A second way that a defense against is they many times will talk about the quality of life of a baby. What if they have Down syndrome? I almost had us watch this video, but there's a video of a Down syndrome man before Congress talking about how his life is valuable and how his life has meaning and purpose. It should not be up to anyone else to decide that his life doesn't have value. It's beautiful. But many times we talk about that there are, but what if they are born with a deformity, or what if they are born with an illness? Again, if you talk to anyone, one time I was visiting the nursing home where we went to a lot, and there was a lady there, just beautiful smile, but she was bound to a wheelchair because of the deformities in which she was born with. Her name was Mary. And I didn't plan on talking about Mary this morning, but such a beautiful story. And I remember her clinging to wanting to be healed. She said, Chad, I just want to walk. And I remember talking with her about that God is definitely powerful enough to bring healing to her body. But I said, but it is also very possible that God would have you bring him glory just the way that you are. I said, Mary, you're much different than me, because anyone that meets you will walk away remembering you. You are unique, and you stand out. Your smile says who you really are. And I remember when she brought that up over and over again, that she had never seen herself as being unique and as being memorable. Mary ended up dying just about a year ago, maybe a year and a half. But I want you to know, she has been healed. And her eternity is one where she is in the presence of God. And we, and no one, should be able to decide whether her life brings value or has purpose. Because I can tell you, in knowing Mary, she does, and it did. And she brought me great joy in reminding me of her love and of her worship of God. There are thousands of stories of people who had their child, even after being told that their child would be unhealthy, and yet their child was born healthy. And so we've got to be careful. As much as technology as we have, is that we need to be careful to make decisions based upon what could be instead of what is. Another defense that will come to this act is the endangerment of the mom or of women. There's a video of Dr. Anthony Leventino. I know I'm saying that wrong. But anyway, he talks about that he has done hundreds of high risk to the mom, but hundreds of pregnancies that are considered high risk pregnancies to the mom, and never had to kill the baby during these pregnancies. He says sometimes the baby didn't make it, but it at the very least had a chance. And I wanted you to know that sometimes we pull out these things that begin to speak to our feelers, and instead we need to understand that we have a God who has a plan and we can trust him. People all the time want to bring up rape. And I just another question that I've asked already is, why should the baby suffer for the sins of the father or of the mother? I don't believe the baby should. Adoption is always an option. I know that it is would be a constant reminder of what has happened. But I think that at the same time, it could also be seen as the greatest blessing that came in the midst of a wicked act. Either way, I believe that God can have a plan even in the midst of that. Women's rights is another defense. I think that it should be a right of the mother, people might say. In asking, going back to the 180 movie, as they were asked on the streets, many of the ladies who were asked, I mean, many of them says, well, I would never, but I think that people should have the right to do that. In the same way, it would be much like the Nazis. Well, I would never kill Jews, but I think that people ought to have the right to do that. Do you see where that doesn't really make sense? When we talk about this subject, we have to ask ourselves, or at least people in our community, of how do we finish this sentence? It is okay to kill a baby when? Is it ever okay to kill a baby? And yet, so many times, this is the question that is overlooked, because we all the time want to dehumanize or talk about the rights that are being taken away instead of the life that is being given. So ultimately, we are saying that we are God and that we have the right to decide who lives and who dies, those who stand for. And so when we see it in that way, we must understand that we have a God who has a plan and who is in control. And so what does this mean for you and I? Again, I want to remind you that we have a God who redeems, who can take the acts that maybe someone in here has been a part of, whether in recommending or driving or maybe even having yourself. One of my closest friends I was in a discipleship group with, and one of the guys in our discipleship group, I think with the greatest of intentions, was talking about abortion, and he was sharing about how evil it is and how he can't believe that anyone would ever do something like that. Unbeknownst to him, that this new believer who was also in this discipleship group was sitting there, and afterward he came to me and he says, should I tell that man that I drove my wife to get an abortion when we were younger? Again, at the greatest of intentions, do you see the way in which it was communicated and the condemnation that was given? And listen, it's wrong, and it should be pointed out how wrong it is. But one of the things that it did to this young man that none of us in the group knew was that this man had been a part of. And so I just want to say that we have a God who redeems. This man now has been able to share his story. And he has been able to share about how God has changed his life and how now he views life because of how God has changed him. And I want you to know that he can do the same. God uses the darkest of situations to use for his shining his light into this dark world. We see it all throughout Scripture. We see it in Saul's life, in David's life. We see it in Moses. We saw it at the woman caught in adultery, thrown at the feet of Jesus. We see it through in many different stories all throughout Scripture. And even as I look across this room, I see it even in the stories represented here. Amen? How God can use the decisions that we've made of the past to yet bring glory to him as we share about his redeeming work. And so what does this mean? How do we make a difference? I would say first is to be informed, to look around, to see what is going on in our world, to be informed about the laws that are trying to be passed. Number two is to step forward, to share about the burdens of the past or even of the present. One of the things that we are not good at being a body, is sharing about ways in which God has changed us and sharing our stories, even when they are hard, even when they bring shame. But you see how God can get glory in taking someone who was a part of the things of this world and how he has made us new. And so I say that to say, if you are here and you have been a part of an abortion in any way, I believe that God could use your story to encourage or to challenge someone to also trust in Jesus, to overcome some of the guilt and the pain and the shame that the enemy tries to bring throughout life because of what has been done in the past. Speak up. Engage in loving and relational conversations. You know, one of the things that we do, and especially when we have friends or family members who have different and make comments and have different maybe beliefs than us, is we think that in many ways we are loving them by not engaging in conversation. There are ways in which you can be very gentle and loving and yet challenge someone's stance and belief upon where they're at. And so we can do that by engaging in those conversations, being equipped to be able to understand. There are some great resources that I would love to be able to point you to that just ask good questions. That 180 movie is a great resource. It's about, I believe it's about an hour-ish long, but it's so good. And one of the things that, his name was Ray Comfort, the one who was doing a lot of the interviews of the people, is he would ask them a series of questions, and then he would ask them, have you just changed your stance on abortion? Person after person said, yes, I've just changed my stance on abortion. And he even asked them, are you going to vote differently? Are you going to vote for life? And they said, yes. And so by having a conversation, we can help people to identify God's plan. And ultimately, in that same conversation, we can share with them the gospel and point them to Jesus as being the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and worthy of our lives. Reach out. As mentioned by Karen, there are ways in which you can make a difference. Maybe it's contacting her and asking how you can serve or be a part of a pregnancy center near us. Maybe it's by adopting. If we are going to tell people that instead of having an abortion, they need to adopt, then that means there needs to be more of us willing to adopt and to bring kids home, because we stand for life, right? So therefore, we must be willing to stand with those kids and let them know that they have value. Give. Maybe God would have you, as I've mentioned before, in every situation that comes up, it doesn't mean that we always give to every different possibility that arises, but it definitely does mean that you and I should at least get before the Lord and ask Him. We have the Holy Spirit within us, which means that we can trust Him and we can be led by Him, and therefore we abide. And when He leads us, we in obedience step out and obey. Church, I want to challenge you that if we believe that God has a plan and that His ways are better than ours, then we can trust Him for the days ahead. And so therefore, listen, if you maybe came here with a different thought or belief about life, then I want to call you to repent, to turn from that and to believe that God has a plan and trust Him that life is knit in the mother's womb. It is created by God in Him, in His image, and therefore we can trust Him. And so let's get before the Lord and let's ask Him to do what only He can do. And so let's pray. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for our world, and that we can stand for life. God, as we bow before You, we want to thank You so much. We thank You for how our parents chose life. We thank You for how You knit us together in our mother's womb and how You protected us, and now we were able to have life. We thank You for the love that You have shown us, the forgiveness that is given, for sending Jesus to die on the cross to redeem us from the things that we have done against You. God, I pray that you would help us to know what we are to do, steps we are to take. Lord, if we are to serve, then Lord, help us to be obedient in that. Lord, if we are to give and be a part of the changes that are being made in our state and ultimately in our country, we pray that you would even reach to the ends of the earth. God, we ask that you would do things that could only be explained by you. We pray for more victories within our court. We pray for the cases that are being heard right now in the Supreme Court, that you would lead the men and women who make those decisions. And that, Lord, we pray that life would be upheld. So, God, we pray for a mighty movement of your Spirit. We ask that you would use each one of us to reach out to our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and help us to point them to you. God, help us to live for you and to be the light in this dark world. God, I pray that you would lead and guide us. Help us to respond according to your will and your plan. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.